things out. We allow him to use our mind to come before you and share his word. It's really kind of amazing how you sit and you watch how his plan comes together. And all it takes is for us to have that willing spirit, that willing heart to do his will. That's all it takes on our part. Well, family, 42 years ago, I had lost my job. It wasn't like I misplaced it or anything like that. You know, I was laid off from work. From Ford Motor Company, it was a mandatory layoff. And when I got laid off, the layoff was supposed to be for about 2 weeks. And the kind of money that, at that time, that we were being paid with the auto industry, well, I could survive a couple of weeks. But that's what they told us. They said, nope, we can't afford to be off more than 2 weeks. I think I was off for about a month, if not a little bit more. But I believed them when they told us that we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Well, they did finally bring us back to work, came back to work, and they said, get ready for the long haul, fellas, because of the fact that this layoff really hurt us, put us way behind. And so they were offering incentives for many who wanted to work overtime to work overtime. They were offering incentives for those who worked on that front line to be able to be involved in other activities that will help them to keep their mind, their focus on the company and what the company was doing. So at that time, I had wanted to go back and finish up my degree. So I'd gone up into the office. I said, hey, I want to buy into these incentive packages that you have. And I said, I want to go back to finish up my degree. I said, got 2 years left. And they said, oh, absolutely. And I signed up, and the deal was I couldn't be laid off. I couldn't be laid off. It was a deal. And I thought, well, great. You know, signed up for college. First semester, got started. Very excited about being back in school. Went back to work. Here was a notice saying that we were all being laid off again. And at that moment, it was like, why? You know, you told us this would not happen. And this was a massive layoff where they went back 25 years. And see, during this time period, it was about a month, they had worked us to the bone. But they paid very well. And they did this for a reason, to get their inventory up, get everything stocked up, because they knew what they were going to do and for the reasons they were going to do it. But the deception was, we were not going to have any more layoffs, so don't worry about it. So here I was, in school. Now I have to maintain a C average or better for them to pay for my schooling, only now to find out they're not going to pay for it either. You know, so you're sitting there like, why? And we have those moments sometime when we look up and we ask God, God, why? Why did this happen? And then sometimes we struggle with God because we want to know why he allowed it to happen. And so each one of us in this room, all of us in this room have had that moment where we've asked the question, why? Why? Why, God? Why is this going on? Why am I experiencing this trial? Each one of us have had that moment. So, of course, begin to beseech God to find another job. So I had a man to come to me. I've known this man for a very long time. He says, I hear that you're out of work. I said, yes. He said, well, hey, you know I've got this plan over here. Come on over here and work for us. Well, I was a little hesitant about going to that facility and working for a number of different reasons. And those reasons I'll share here in a moment. But he says, hey, why don't you think about it? So I thought about it. I was putting my feelers out because once you work for the automotive industry and you make a certain figure, You don't want to go down. You want to either stay there or go up. But yet, when we are beseeching God and asking God to guide and to direct, asking God to open a door, when God opens that door, what do? Well, here was a door being opened for me, but I didn't want to go through that door. The man came back to me. He says, hey, I'd really like to have you on board with us. He said, now I know I can't match your pay, you know, that you received at Ford Motor Company. He said, but man, I can pay you well enough that, you know, you can keep a roof over your head and food in your house and take care of the basic things that you need to take care of. Well, that was all good and well, but still, you know, I'm looking for that larger paycheck that I had been accustomed to. So the man approached me again. Nothing else was happening. No other doors were being opened. So I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. He was excited about it. He was looking forward to me coming on board and working with this company. I went to work my first day with him. I showed up. He was very excited to see me. Went in the office. Of course, we had to do the necessary paperwork to show that I'm employed by him. Signed off on everything, and he took me out to the plant and introduced me to his workers. And so here I am with this guy who's very excited, said, hey, you know, this guy here, and he's introducing me to these guys, and I'm looking at these guys, and they didn't seem to have that excitement that he had about me being there. As a matter of fact, when he showed me what I was going to be doing, and I went out, and I picked up the tools, and I got started, well, those guys decided to come over and give me a proper introduction. As they stood there and stood around me, here's what they said to me. Boy, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. And if you don't leave now, here's what we're going to do to you. In my mind, I'm thinking, bullies. Yeah, I hate bullies. I'm not standing down because I hate bullies. He says, do you understand what we're saying to you? I said, yep, I understand exactly what you're saying to me. Are you going to leave? Nope, can't do it. Do you not understand that we are going to hurt you very badly if you don't leave? I said, yep, that's what you said, but I'm not leaving. All day long, these men tormented me. All day long. So when I got ready to leave at the end of the day, of course, they came up to me and says, don't come back tomorrow. Okay? Did you understand what we said? Oh, absolutely. I understood what you said. Don't come back tomorrow, because if you do, here's what's going to happen. So then I go home. I'm sitting around, and I'm thinking, now wait a minute. God opened this door for me. I'm quite sure God had to know something about these men. My friend over here, this is his company, and he's bringing me on board with him, and I'm quite sure that he knew about the individuals that worked for him. But yet still, he wanted me to come and work for him. Now, at the time, this was a little puzzle, was a little confusing to me, because now I've got to make a decision. Do I want to go back to work tomorrow and endure this nonsense with these guys? Are they really going to carry out their threats? You know, I was always thankful for comments that my grandmother used to say to me all the time. She used to always tell me, don't worry about the guy that's running his mouth, because that's all he's going to do. That guy over in the corner that's watching you, not saying a word, that's the one you watch. And so I said, okay. But I found myself asking God, why? Why? Why would you put me in this type of situation? Why would you open this door for me, knowing what I was going to be up against? And so many times I found myself just asking God a question. Why? Many of us, as I said earlier, have found ourselves in the same position asking God Why? Why, God? Why this trial? Why are you allowing me to suffer at this moment? Why? And there was a moment I found myself asking the question, why me? I don't know if any of you have ever found yourselves asking God that question. Why me? A little voice in the back of my head answered back and says, why not you? Why not you? Of course, that little voice in the back of my mind was a widow in the church who heard me asking that question. And then she went on to say, well, who do you want God to go after? Good question. There are a lot of people in this church. Pick one. Well, who would you like for him to go after? Anybody but me. I just feel like I'm a target. Well, I just can't believe you would say something like that. I said, well, you have to be in my situation to understand why I said something like that. And I mean, it was out of frustration. But yet, when we are going through those trials of life, we don't always understand at that very moment why, but we're always asking God, why? Why, God? Why is this happening, and why are you allowing this to happen? The title for the sermon, family, you already have it. Why, God? Why, God? It's the title for the sermon. The purpose is to remind us to learn to ask God for help, for patience, for endurance, for more faith in order to endure the times in which we live, the trials that we're experiencing, and the trials that we're going through. Instead of asking God why, we ought to ask God for help. We must ask God for help. What if I told you that God has already answered these questions for you and for me? These questions have already been answered. While we're sitting here asking why, the why had already been answered a long time ago. We just forgot to pay attention. Let's take a quick journey, because the focus here is to help us to begin to move forward and not ask God why and why me, but yet ask God for help, for strength, for patience, for endurance, for faith to go through this moment. This message is to encourage us, family, as we begin to move forward. Join me over in John 16. Let's go over to John 16. And let's drop down to verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Here are the disciples asking the question, why? You know, Lord, what are you talking about? We don't understand you. Verse 16, a little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said amongst themselves, what is he talking about? What is this that he says to us? A little while, you will see me. You will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. They were having issues with Jesus Christ because they didn't understand him. They want to understand him, but they couldn't understand him because he was talking in parables. And Christ said, they said, therefore, what is this he says a little while? What do you know about what he is saying? They're talking amongst themselves, and they're asking each other the question, why? Instead of going to Christ and just ask him. He's the one that spoke these words. And that's what we should do. You know, we have a habit of going to other sources instead of going to the Master himself. Why? Why are you allowing me to go through this? Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, you will not see me, and again, a little while, you will see me? You're talking amongst yourselves. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Example, a woman when she is in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. It is time for her to deliver this child. And during that period of time, when it's time for her to deliver the child, she is going to be in anguish. She's going to be in pain. She's going to have a lot of different emotions running through her mind. Having that opportunity to watch the child, the birth of all of our children and of our grandchildren, I understand exactly what Christ is talking about. But when that child comes out, the burden is over. And he says, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For the joy that a human being has being born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, he is telling them, and your heart will rejoice. At this very moment, you are going through some things, and there are some things that are going to take place, and you're going to be sorrowful. He says, but your joy, he says, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy, no one can take away from you. That joy that Christ has given to us, nobody can take it away from us. Now, jump over to verse 29. His disciples said to him, see now, you are speaking plainly. You're not using parables or figures of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. And Jesus said to them, do you now believe? And so as we go through our moments in life, do we still believe that Christ, do we still believe that he is with us? And he is going to continue to stay with us. As you saw in the video, people who leave the truth, but the truth is still here. The truth hasn't left, it hasn't gone away. They will come back, and what they'll come back to is the same truth that is before you and me today. The truth that we continue to live, the truth that we continue to preach about, and the examples of that truth that we show and demonstrate in our daily lives. Jesus said, indeed the hour is coming. Yes, verse 32 here. Has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And yet, family, we are not alone. If we beseech the Father, and we're communicating with the Father about what is going on in this present time of our lives, he will comfort us. He will comfort us. And we are not alone. There are moments that it may feel like that you're alone. But when you have God's word of truth right here in front of you, and you're relying upon it, and you're trusting it, and you're believing it, just like he asked the disciples, he says, do you now believe? The question for all of us today is, do we now believe that when Christ said, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, but it's difficult for me, Father, it's hard. Yes, he understands that, he knows that. But what does he continue to tell us here? He says, I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. If we want peace and we want a peace of mind, in Christ we will have this peace. We will have this peace. He says, but in the world we will have tribulation. We are going to have trials. There are things that are going to come up at us that are going to attack us, that are going to weaken us, and that are going to beat us down. But he says, be of good cheer. Well, that's kind of difficult sometimes to accept, yes? When you're sitting here, and you're in the ring, and you're getting punched out, and you're laying down, they're counting you out, and then someone looks down at you, hey, be of good cheer. You know, how is it that you're going to be of good cheer, you know, and Muhammad Ali just knocked you out flat on the ground? You have a choice. You can either get back up so he can knock you back down again, or you can just lay down there and take the count. Well, you see, God doesn't want us to lay down and take the count. He says, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Be strengthened, because I have overcome the world. There are trials and difficulties that Christ went through that he has overcome. And he is letting us know that we can overcome those things as well. But we have to be focused and in tune with him at all times. Because when we look at the world around us, there are a lot of things going on. Even again, as it was mentioned, and I have it in my notes, I hadn't seen the inner core this week, but yet I can see how God is working in the messages so that we get the message. You know, we may have received a little bit of it from there, and then yet we have the sermon, and here's another part of this story that's being carried over. Jesus Christ, he wants you and me to know and to believe that he is not forsaking us. He has not left us alone. He has not abandoned us. He is telling us that we're stronger than we think we are. And we're going to see this as we go along. But yet, the disciples, even though he worked with them and he shared so much with them, they still began to have their doubts. And we do too. We can go through trial after trial after trial. Do we ever look back and see, you know what? You know, Father, you brought me through that. And you go back and you look and you see how. And then you look and say, you know what? What did I learn from that? What did I learn from that? And I think if we do that, we will see how God was working things out. And I'll share with you the story of how God worked that employment out with this company, with men who hated me, I mean, with a passion, because of the color of my skin. They hated me. They didn't even know me. They knew nothing about me. They knew nothing about my character, but they hated the mere fact that I was there. So here are the disciples. Mark 4 and verse 35. We're familiar with this story. But here again, we fail. Mark 4, verse 35. On that same day, when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now then they left the multitude. They took him along in the boat, and as he was, in the same condition he was in, same thing he was wearing when he left. He got in the boat, they took off. And other little boats began to follow. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat up on the little boat. And then it began to fill the boat. But where was Christ? Right there with them, in the stern, asleep. So I would think that if I had Jesus Christ right there with me, and a lot of things are going on, I'm quite sure you know what's going on. But yet you're up in the stern of the boat, asleep. Well, their patience with him was not very good, because a lot of things going wrong, a lot of things happening here. And you know what? Sometimes the same holds true for you and me. Sometimes we grow to be impatient with God because he is not acting and he's not doing what we think he should be doing. And so they said, okay, here we go. Let's wake him up. He says, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? You're laying here asleep. We're about to die. Do you not care? And then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. Other translations, peace, be quiet. He rebuked the wind, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But there he stands, and he looks at them. He says, why are you so fearful? I don't get it. Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? I am with you. How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Family, how is it that sometimes the things that we go through, how is it that our faith seems to fail us? What is actually going wrong in our personal lives? Are we not close to Christ as we should be? Are we not in tune with him as he wants to be in tune with us? The world cries out all the time, and you hear it. You hear it on different news programs where you hear someone say, well, if God is so loving, why do these bad things happen? Why does a God so loving allow these children to die? If God is so loving, why does he allow our neighborhoods to be destroyed? If God is so loving, you know, why don't he get rid of this virus? And this is the world that's coming and attacking what we believe and the fact that we trust in God. A God to them that doesn't seem to be caring, loving at all about mankind. Well, how do you answer that question? Again, the answers have already been given to you and to me. When the world cries out, why? Why are you allowing this to happen to us? Our reply back and our answers are very simple. John 17, verse 9. John 17, he has already given us the answer. When the world is crying out against him, and they're calling him out, here's what Christ had to say. John 17 and verse 9. He says in this prayer, he says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. That's you and me. I pray for them, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. You remember what he said? He says, in the world, we will have trials. We'll have tribulation. He is not taking us out of the world. He is not taking us out. There are things that we're going to have to learn. There are things we're going to have to go through. And we are going to have to be tested. Mr. Taylor grabbed one of my scriptures here, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Don't think this is some strange thing happening to you. We are being tested. We are being proven. God has to test us. He has to prove us to see where we are and to see what we need to be coached on, to see what we need to be reminded of in order to continue to move forward. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. He says, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them are lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Well, you're going through this trial, and Christ is saying that he wants his joy fulfilled in you and me. And sometimes it doesn't feel that way. When we're right there in the midst of it, it doesn't feel like joy is going to come in the morning. Tonight we have sorrow, but there's going to be joy in the morning. While we're in the midst of that, we don't see it. But if we focus our attention on God's word, we will see it. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 15, very important. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why not? We want to be with you. Well, there are things that we are going to have to learn because there's a world out here that we're going to be teaching later on. And what are they going to do and what are they going to say? You don't understand what it's like to go through the things I went through. And yet some of you will be able to say, well, yes, I do. Because like Christ, like God said to Job, where were you when these things were taking place and these things that I had done? Where were you? And we will be able to speak to their sorrows because many of us would have experienced those sorrows. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So he is praying to the Father that You'll keep bees protected. Don't let the evil one have them. Keep them away from that evil one. You know, going back to my story, why would God throw me into the midst of these wolves? Why would he do that? Why would he open that door? We'll look and see, why did he throw Daniel in the lion's den? It's amazing because that came up in the inner court as well. Why did he do these things? And why does he allow these things to happen to you and to me? Years later, when I looked back at that period of time, did I tell you I showed up to work the next day? And the next day? And the next day? And the next day? And the next day? For 3.5 years, I showed up to work. The interesting thing about it was this scripture came true years later. God was doing a work, and he was proving himself. They promised to me what they were going to do to me. God didn't let it happen. He didn't let it happen. He kept me from the evil one. He didn't let it happen. So he was also showing me that he was with me. And when I went to him and I said, hey, I need your help, the help was granted. But you see, from my perspective, you know, God, this is not the door I want to open. And God's like, well, you know, this is the door I'm opening for you. You know, stop whining. Go in. Really? Would you have done that? Would you have walked into an area where people, as soon as they look at you, they say, we'll kill him before the day's out? You know how difficult it is to go to work all day long and you hear this? But yet, 3.5 years. 3.5 years. I showed up for work. One day I snapped because I got tired of hearing what they were going to do. So one of the guys came over in his pickup, and he had three guys with him. We were down at the plant working. The guys that were working saw the guy coming in his pickup, saw the men that were with him. They kind of removed themselves away from around me, which kind of told me a story. So when the guy pulls up, I mean, he rides right up on me. He said, well, boy, today is the day. I told you what I was going to do to you. And I just kind of snapped because I got tired of hearing this. So I jerked his truck door open. He says, what are you doing? I said, today is the day. And I reached in to grab him, and he ran to the other side of the truck. Now I'm angry because you're running. Because you have been threatening me day after day after day. Now, I got my eye on the men that I work with, and I also have my eye on the three guys that came with him. What I noticed was all of those men separated themselves from him and from me. It was just me and him. No, today is your day. It's not my day, it's your day. And so then he began to backpedal, and he began to tell me I was just kidding, joking, and I had a bad attitude, and he was going to talk to my boss about my bad attitude, and I couldn't take a joke. Well, those threats ended that day. God said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but I gave you a sound mind. God was showing me that he was with me. And he was showing them there's something kind of unique about the guy. We better leave him alone. Because no one backed this guy up. God would do that for us. But you see, I couldn't see that when I was going through that trial. I couldn't see it. I didn't see it until years later. And what I'm saying to us today, the same holds true for you and for me. We don't always see and understand today. This is why we don't stop and trouble God with, why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen? The answer is, I told you that you're going to have trials. I told you things are going to happen. I told you don't think that there's some strange thing happening to you. I have prepared you. I have told you. I have warned you. And I have also told you that I will be with you. And you have to pray and ask for strength, for help, for encouragement, for more faith, for trust. You see, these are the things that we have to be saying to God. Right now, things look kind of crazy, and I don't know why, you know, I got this virus. Suck it up, buttercup. Here's what he is saying to you and to me. I am with you. I'm going to see you through this. Why me? Why not you? You are mine, and I have the opportunity to prove you and to prove to others that you and I are one, even as the Father and I are one. Verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Set apart them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify, or I set aside myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. What truth? The truth of God. Life gets difficult, life gets hard, but there is a plan that God is working out. John 15 and verse 18, we're reminded in verse 19 that the world hated him. Those men hated me, didn't know anything about me. And Christ reminds us that the world hated him, and yet they know nothing about him, and they know nothing about the Father. And they will persecute you. He told me. So I'm sitting there saying, why, God, why would you throw me in here with these men who hate me because of the color of my skin? He said, they hated me too. But I'm going to be with you. Now, how am I going to know this if I don't go through the trial? How are you going to know this if you don't go through the trial? You have to be a living witness and an example of what Christ will do for you if you trust him. If you believe in him and you believe in his word and you're standing firm on his word, he will show you things that you're capable of doing and that he is capable of doing through you because of your faith and your obedience. He says, the world hated me before they hated you. The world, family, rejected Jesus Christ. The world wants to know why. Why? Why does this God allow these sufferings and these things to happen? Very easy. They ask you that because you hate him. I don't hate him. Sure you do. Sure you do, because you see, the world says you do. I mean, the Bible says you do. You hate him. You rejected him. You don't accept him. Do you keep Sabbath? Well, no, we'll keep the Sabbath. Do you keep the holy days? No, we'll keep the holy days. Okay, well, he said, this is what his people are going to do. So if you're not doing these things, then you're not one of his. You see, we already have the answer for them, but yet we also have to see the answers for you and for me. Now, it doesn't look like at the moment that God loves you, but family, he does. He does. You know, his plan is not to hurt or to destroy us, but his plan, family, is for our future, for our benefit. You know, when you go over to Daniel 6, and you try to understand, why did God allow Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den? Well, they were going to see that Daniel's God truly is God. And at the end result, then the king honored Daniel and honored Daniel's God. God has a unique way of working things out to reveal him and to protect you, and he will protect us. He will protect us. John 6:44, we just have to be reminded. No one can come to the Father except, no one can come to Jesus Christ except the Father who sent Christ draws an individual. Each one of us have been drawn by the Father, handpicked and placed in the hands of Jesus Christ for him to care for us. He has not done this with the world, but yet Christ came to die for the world, even though the world has rejected him. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 that he is not going to let us bear more than we can handle. He's not going to put on you and me more than we can handle. And when we're sitting down and we're thinking, woe is me, no. When we're sitting down, we must realize and be reminded of the fact that he is not going to put on us more than we can handle. And so therefore, we no doubt can handle the trials that we're going through. And he will strengthen us. He will help us. He's encouraging us. He's telling us, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You see, I need you. I need you for the future. Because you are going to have to explain things to a world that says, God's not fair. Why would a God who says he's loving allow these things to happen? Very simple. You've rejected him. You rejected him. Jeremiah 29, we put down there. He says, I want you to know my thoughts towards you. My thoughts of you is to give you peace, not evil. To give you a future, a bright future, and hope. Do we believe that? You see, our business with Jesus Christ and God the Father, when we find ourselves in going through trials, he warned us, he told us that we were going to be going through these trials, and yet we forgot about that. It is not for you and for me to be in this position to say, why, God? No, that's not you and me. See, that's the world. What we do is we sit down with him and we ask for understanding. We ask for guidance. We ask for direction. We asked, just like Jesus Christ did in that Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed to the Father, if it be your will. Christ didn't want to have to suffer the things that he was going to have to suffer. He knew what he was going to have to go through. And to stop and to think about it, to know what's about to happen to you, it's difficult. You know, my young foolish mind, you know, over 42 years ago, I didn't know what was about to happen to me. But I tell you one thing, you know, I wasn't going to go down easy. Because that was my temperament during that time period. If you want to fight, let's fight. I hated bullies. But yet, I didn't fight. Even the day I snapped, I still didn't fight. But I sure gave that guy a run for his money. I never seen a guy run so fast, and he had to come back and get his truck. Because he was afraid of me. Because I had lost my mind. The guy left. All of a sudden, 20 minutes later, I see his pickup coming back again. And I'm thinking, oh boy, what now? The guys that worked with me are like, you probably done did it now. But still, they gave me no support, no help. And yet, when the pickup arrived back over at the plant, it was his three workers. They walked up to me and they had a hat. They handed me the hat. I said, what's this for? He says, it's money. For what? He says, we want to pay you to go hit him. Guys, keep the money. No. No, we want to pay you to go hit him. No, that's not what this was all about. Here was a lesson for me. The lesson for me was to trust God. To trust that God knew what he was doing. To trust that God was working out his plan through me. And all I had to do was humble myself and follow through and do. This is a great trial. How many of you would have done it? I'm not too sure if I didn't have God on my side, I would have done it. But yet, it also taught me not to hate. They hated me and knew nothing about me. But for 3.5 years, I worked with those men. Now, the other side of the story is, 6 months after I arrived on the scene, I became their boss. Now, that was even more challenging, and that was even more interesting. But yet, we worked very well together. And they tell me stories like, you know what? You're not like most blacks. And I used to always laugh. You don't even know most blacks. So how can you make this statement? Well, yeah, you're right. You know? But you see, God took advantage of an opportunity to use me to teach a lesson. to others and for me to learn the lesson as well. And that's what he does for you and for me. So when we find ourselves in these situations, don't look up and say, "Why, God?" No. "Father, here I am. What is your will for me? What do you want me to learn? Show me that I may learn it. Help me through this trial. Give me the strength. Give me the courage. I want to be of good cheer. I want to have that joy in my heart. But right now my heart's heavy. And so I need you, because your word said that these things will take place. I need you to give me the help and the strength that I need. Why me, Lord?" Very simple. "Because I love you. I love you. And you are part of my plan. And I'm going to prove you. And I want you to see and know and understand that I am your God."